Even if you don't remember her name, you know who the actress Gloria Graham was. Maybe you remember her singing "I'm Just a Girl Who Can't Say No" in the musical Oklahoma.
I'm just a girl who can't say no. I'm in a terrible fix.
She went on to win a Best Supporting Actress Oscar in 1952 for The Bad and the Beautiful. And if you're like me and you are forcing your family to watch It's a Wonderful Life this holiday season, you definitely remember Gloria Graham's role as Violet Bick, the town flirt.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bailey.
Hello, Violet. Hey, you look good. That's some dress you got on there.
What's all this? Well, I only wear it when I don't care how I look.
Graham's days as a Hollywood starlet were over by the time she met young actor Peter Turner. They ended up spending some of the last days of her life together. And after Graham's death, Turner wrote a memoir about their relationship called Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. It is published by Picador. The memoir has now been made into a movie by the same name, starring Annette Bening as Gloria Graham. I talked with Peter Turner and Annette Bening, who is a four-time Oscar-nominated actress who's won Golden Globes for being Julia and The Kids Are All Right earlier this month, and we're re-airing that interview for you today. I began by pointing out to Annette Bening that I'd been listening to old interviews she'd done, and she'd been talking about Gloria Graham for years.
I have, because I had the good fortune of doing a movie many years ago called The Grifters, and the director, Stephen Frears, suggested that I watch Gloria as an inspiration. So I studied her when I was working on that film, because that's kind of a noir-esque movie. So.
What struck a chord with you?
She has this incredible combination of qualities that I can't quite put into words, except that she's just so delicious and watchable. And she was a great listener. I mean, that's one thing about Gloria when I watch her carefully. She's really alive and listening. She played a great range of roles, but she was really known for being the bad girl femme fatale. But she did a lot of other things. My favorite movie is In a Lonely Place.
Huh, why?
Because of the movie itself is a great movie. Nick Rey, her husband at the time, directed it. It's beautifully written. Everyone is great, including Humphrey Bogart.
He's fabulous.
He's incredible. But she has a certain quality in that film that I just, she's so economical. She's so intelligent.
And that stillness.
Stillness, exactly.
Wonderful.
Yeah, stillness. That's a great way of putting it.
So, Peter, how did you first meet Gloria?
I met her in London in 1978, and we were both living in the same boarding house, I suppose. Huh. It was a house where, you know, actors used to live. The lady who ran the house was a former actress, and she had this gorgeous house in Primrose Hill, King Henry's Road, and she used to let rooms to actors. And I was one of them, and I lived at the top in the kind of attic room, overlooking the railway lines, which I loved because it was just so romantic and wonderful, and you could hear the trains kind of going everywhere all over the country in the nighttime, and I thought, oh, I like it here. And then Gloria turned up.
Did you know who she was?
No, I had no idea who she was, you know. And Sarah, you know, the landlady, said, hey, you know, I've got a big surprise. Gloria Graham is renting my ground floor apartment. It was quite posh compared to my accommodations. And she had, you know, she had a bathroom, a kitchen, a living room and a bedroom. And it was kind of really neat and wonderful. And I would, as in the movie, I would hear her. I would walk down the stairs to collect the mail and to kind of go out. And I'd hear this strange woman in the room doing her voice exercises. Loop, boop, boom, ma, pa, ba, ma. And I think, what on earth is going on? And then one day she opened the door, actually, and she said, hey, can you lend me £4.75? And I thought, £4.75? What's she going to do with £4.75? But she not long arrived, and she didn't have any kind of cash, and she hadn't opened a bank account, so I lent her £4.75. And she did pay me back with a check about a week later, but she fudged up the date and everything. And I was absolutely broke, and I couldn't cash it in. And I still have it.
You still have it?
I still have it. I still have the check. And then one day, she opened the door, as in our movie, and she said, hey, can you hustle? because I'm going to do a dance class. Will you join me? And I did. And we got to know each other, really, you know, became really good friends in a very short amount of time, a few weeks, you know. We go to the theatre and we go on walks around London. And
I should say, in the movie, you're played by Jamie Bell. So I guess you were really good at hustling there.
I was okay. He's better. He's brilliant.
He's and from he's, Billy Elliot.
He's brilliant in the film, isn't he, Annette? The,
he's
the two. I mean, the performances are just absolutely
thank you, Peter.
Gorgeous.
But Jamie was very generous. He's a very generous performer. He's a very good guy. He's got gravitas as a human being, and he was just, he's a real pro. I really adore
and he's
him.
So perceptive.
Yeah. I mean, Annette, you say you don't like playing simple female roles, and Gloria Graham is certainly not simple. Why did you want to play this role now?
Well, all of us actors, we just want people with the most complexity, with the biggest range of change possible in the story. That's what we're all looking for. And this, in this story, which is inspired by Peter's book, the book itself is very tasteful, kind of a slender, really abstract kind mm-hmm. of a memoir, which is what he wanted to write, that kind of goes between the past and the present in a seamless way, which is what we were trying to do with the film. And then we had a wonderful screenwriter from Manchester named Matt Greenhalgh, who has such a big heart. He's a big guy, he's a wonderful man. And all of the men involved in this were particularly, everybody just fell in love with Gloria like mm-hmm. Peter had. We all kind of fed from Peter and his book. And then that really helped Matt's writing. There's a tenderness
absolutely.
To his writing.
And, you know, his craft, his skill as a screenwriter is just brilliant. And we got on so well. And there was a kind of just like a feeling of generosity between the two of us. And it was like kind of handing over the baton, really.
Mm.
And he kept very faithful to the book, even taking scenes and dialogues from the book. And then extended beautifully, didn't he, some of the themes and the motifs and you know, like the Romeo and Juliet in the end.
How old were you when you started a relationship with her, and how old was she?
My God, well, there was an age difference between us, which was just so interesting and kind of wonderful. I was 28, I think, 28 and a half when we first met, and Gloria was in her, she was 54. But, you know, if you look, you know, times have changed enormously, and she was a very beautiful woman in her, you know, early to mid-50s. And if you look at women now in their early to mid-50s, my goodness me, aren't they beautiful? And there's no kind of aid. Well, look, I'm sitting next to one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen in my life.
But I feel like we're still talking about.
And it's wonderful. There was no kind of, I didn't see any age difference. I just thought this interesting, vulnerable, complex, beautiful woman. And I don't just mean Annette. it was Gloria.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're still having this conversation, though, about age differences and who women can be in relationships and who men can be in relationships. And that's, I think, why the film struck a chord with me.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's true. We're still having that conversation. And I know when I've noticed in doing a lot of interviews with Jamie and I are like a tag team now. We get on very well. Anyway, and this subject comes up, and I realized, wait, when I started in films, I was about Jamie's age. He's much more of a vet at his age than I was. But I was just starting, and all of the men that I was playing opposite, almost every one of them was 15 or 20 or 25 years older than I was.
Huh.
That was very common.
Right.
So that's a norm that we all sort of accept, whereas when it's the other way around, people find it, mm-hmm. it's different. Although I think it happens all the time, and I think there's many, mm-hmm. many of these kinds of relationships, and with women that are older than mm-hmm. Gloria was at the time even.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't dramatize them. We don't hear enough mm-hmm. about them. We don't celebrate them enough. Mm-hmm. We don't investigate them. And because of Peter's particular relationship with Gloria, and also where it went, which was surprising for everybody that was involved. When it was over, what you told me, Peter, was that some time went by, but that was just one of those things. It was not letting you sleep. And that the book came out of that.
Absolutely.
Churning inside of you.
Absolutely, it did. It was about kind of 3 years later after Gloria had died. And yeah, I just couldn't sleep.
Why? And what were you thinking about?
I don't know what I was thinking. It was something unresolved. And I guess I was trying to figure things out, really. I remember it was the time of the Los Angeles Olympics. Mm. And, we used to have the kind of broadcast kind of late in the middle of the night in England. And I'd sort of watch the Olympics. Then I'd kind of go to bed, but I still couldn't sleep. And I remember, it sounds crazy, but I'd wake up the next morning when I did sleep and I'd be thinking, what was I thinking last night? Mm-hmm. And all these words, and they were medical words, and it was writing, and I just got fed up with it. And one morning I woke up about 5 a.m. I went to the desk. I had a little old manual typewriter that didn't work very well, and with one finger I typed in, I didn't know she was sick until she went to Lancaster. Mm-hmm. And I just went on from there, and one memory would kind of remind me of another memory, and then another one. So it was like layers of memory. I didn't research a book. There's no dates. There's no, biographical kind of information. It's not a film.
It just came out of you.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
It kind of flooded out.
And I should say, is that you had this relationship with Gloria Graham, and then you separated for a while. But then when she got sick, she came back to you.
Absolutely. And that was like a very profound kind of period of my life, time of my life. It was unexpected, of course. I kind of thought that she would come back because we did have some kind of telephone conversations. I'd get random telephone conversations. Some were very brief, just hello, how are you? And then some were kind of more kind of fulfilling, really. But then it kind of stopped again. What ended up that she ended up coming to Liverpool, where she was very ill. And
what inspired the title, Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool?
Well, it was actually, I was working in the theatre at the time. I was an actor, and still am. And I was looking after Gloria at home with my family, my mother and my brother and his wife, my dad. And then I'd have to go to the theatre and kind of perform in this play. And which I got a lot of energy from to kind of help me kind of go back and take care of Gloria. But I was always late. Mm. And kind of running into the theatre and the coat half off and people handing me, the kind of the costume I was wearing. And the stage manager was incensed with me, and he said, pack it in, what's going on? And so I kind of poured out everything. I said, oh, I'm sorry, Jack, it's because this is happening. And there's a woman's table and she's an actress and she's a film star and she's dying. And he said, oh, let's not be silly, Peter, film stars don't die in Liverpool. And that was the title.
Oh. I'm Mary Harris. I am speaking with Annette Bening and Peter Turner. Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool is their new film based on Turner's memoir about his relationship with actress Gloria Graham. I'm Mary Harris. You are listening to WNYC. We're rebroadcasting a conversation I had earlier this month with Annette Bening and Peter Turner about the movie Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool, about the actress Gloria Graham. I asked Annette Bening about the film's opening scene. It's very detailed, and she, as Gloria Graham, transforms herself into a person she needed to be in the moment. I asked her, what was Gloria's relationship with her appearance?
Well, from what I understand, it was complicated.
Yeah.
I think even when she was young, I think she had certain insecurities about her appearance. I'm sure she had good days and bad days like most of us. Some days you look in the mirror and you think, okay, I'm doing all right today. And other days you feel more self-conscious. But I think she was, and it was at a time when it wasn't the plastic surgery age as it is right now, but I think she went back and forth, and I think she had some vulnerabilities about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did,
right. And she did when she knew you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if it gives you, if doing her story gave you some perspective on women in Hollywood and the kind of roles that are available to them now versus when she was a star, because, she had such a big push. She won an Academy Award, and are things different now?
She did have a craft that meant a lot to her. Her mother was from Scotland. Her mother was a trained actress and taught acting. And Gloria took the craft really seriously. And at this point in her life when she's meeting Peter, part of the time she's living in New York, she's going to acting classes. Stella Adler, who was this very famous, amazing teacher, and you can still buy her books. She was really quite a genius, and she taught a lot of very eminent people. And I had heard Robert De Niro had studied with Stella Adler, and I'd heard that he was in class with Gloria, so I called him and asked him, and he said, yes, she was there. He said he was a kid. He looked over. He didn't even know who she was and that she was in class with him.
Wow.
And he said she didn't get up, she didn't do scenes, but that she was there listening. And when she went to England at this point, she was trying to make a living. She was somebody who was having a hard time finding work, and she found work in England. She was doing The Glass Menagerie. She was doing Rain. She was doing other plays there. But I think she had a real love of the work. And as tough as that must have been in some ways, to be someone that many people had no idea who she was, including Peter, when he met her, there was, I mean, there's also something in that that's kind of great.
Freeing.
Well, yeah. And also that she just loved her craft and she loved the work and didn't take herself so seriously.
Right.
That she was willing to do what she needed to do and get on with it and experience the thing that acting gives you that isn't related to other people's responses to it, but is related to your own process and what you get out of doing it.
She got her own joy from it. She didn't
need
the reaction.
I think so, to a degree.
Now, Peter, you met Gloria in 1979. We talked about, you know, you were together for a number of years. Why didn't you stay together? You clearly had this incredibly intense bond.
Well, it's a very good question. It's a very interesting question. And that's what I was trying to figure out, I suppose, when I started to write the book. Life takes over. You know, John Lennon said it, when you're making other plans, life comes in and kind of sorts it out for you. Everything was going extremely well. You know, we got on so well. We did everything together, you know, in London and Liverpool. We used to, you know, travel. We went to Wales. We went to Greece together. And we spent time in California and a lot of time in New York. And, you know, we were like two peas in a pod. We just got on extremely well. And then one day, she kind of, you know, she went out. And it's very much like it is in the film. And she didn't come back late. And then the relationship started to wobble. I kind of couldn't understand what was going on. And we started to kind of like disagree and not see eye to eye. And she was quite mean to me, really. And so it culminated in me kind of leaving. And I kind of went to the airport and, you know, she kind of like threw me out. And I remember at the airport, and I had, you could get a flight for £50. It was kind of, you know, standby, kind of Freddie Laker and all that kind of thing at that time. And I remember in the airport, I'd paid for the flight, and I thought, well, I've got no money now, but I had some change. And I tried to make a call. You know, there was no mobile phones and, you know, AT&C, and I didn't have the right change, and I could just hear her voice, and I thought, and then it went off, and I thought, shall I go back to the apartment? Shall I take the bus back to the apartment? And then the flight was called, and I thought, what am I going to do? If I go back and she doesn't let me back in, I have no money, I've lost the air ticket, and in the end, I just went back home.
When did you realize she was sick?
I didn't know she was sick until she went to Lancaster. That's the beginning of the book. She had been ill several years before, and she hadn't said anything about it to me and to most people, even her family. And it was a cancer that returned, and that's what the kind of the, you know, the misunderstanding was in New York. She didn't want to tell me. She was so brave. And so courageous, and she didn't want to kind of mess up my life, I suppose, with, you know, taking care of someone who was kind of extremely ill. I think that she had a sense, an inner sense, that this time she wouldn't get rid of she wouldn't heal herself, that the cancer would not go away. And so she spared me all that, and she architected this kind of series of disagreements so that I would go. And it was, the film actually is so brilliant and it's so good and it tells the story so beautifully. The performances are amazing and I mean, just incredible. And, you know, I not only admire it, but on a very deep personal level, it kind of explains an awful lot to me. And Annette has, you know, has done much more for me than anyone really. She not only kind of gives me the world with her just beautiful performance and laid performance, but she has, you know, helped me to get it, to understand. And for that, I'll always be incredibly grateful.
And Annette, you wanted to play this role years ago, right?
Yes, I did. Barbara Broccoli, who is one of our producers, along with Colin Vane's Barbara, who is a producer extraordinaire. She and Peter were friends many years before, and she knew Peter and Gloria when they were together. She hung out with them. And she, actually, that was enormously helpful to me, because Barbara would say, oh my God, they were just so, they were just completely, like, normal. When you saw them together, you just thought, oh yeah, those two belong together. And Barbara and I were friends, and we met, we're having babies together in the same time. We lived in Los Angeles, so our paths crossed. She gave me the book. She was interested in making the book into a film. I met Peter, I read the book, and it was all very exciting, but too soon. I was too young. It wasn't the right time. And the movie kind of bounced around for many years. Yeah. And then Barbara reminded me of this recently. So then we ran into each other in the ladies' room at the BAFTAs.
So there we all were. The best work is done.
Exactly. We're all running in there in our evening gowns, dying. And I said to her, hey, Barbara, you know, we should whatever happened, we should make that movie. So she, at that point, she I mean, that's a kind of gross abbreviation. But anyway, she and Colin then found Matt Greenhalgh, who's from Manchester, to write the screenplay. And it sort of continued due to their passion and talent, really, because they work from a place of artistry, both Colin and Barbara. And they found Paul McGuigan, a wonderful director that they both had been fans of separately, but that was another huge choice that they made. And then we slowly put it together and found Jamie Bell, who was absolutely key to all of us.
And Peter, you said at some point it was almost like Gloria's ghost was trying to prevent the movie from being made, something like that. It took so long. And I wondered your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that, you know, like Barbara and Colin and myself and Annette, we wanted it all to be right. And it's just, you know, serendipity, really. I mean, it took a long time, from when Barbara first took the project. But I think that, but Barbara was determined to make the film. No other producer would have kept it on the slate as long as she did. But it was like a passion project for her. But she wanted to wait for all the right circumstances. And she did. And I just felt that there was a kind of a link with Gloria as well. Gloria was Scottish. Her heritage was Scottish. And we have the wonderful director, Mr. Paul McGuigan, who is from Scotland. And it all made kind of sense to me. Every piece of the jigsaw kind of started to kind of fit into place.
And there's something else you said, where you said you wanted to make this movie because while the nature of film has changed, one thing hasn't, and that's how female stars are treated. And it really struck me that you said that.
Yeah, I think that female stars at that time, at Gloria's time, had a really kind of tough time, you know, in that studio system. And I did write a new chapter for the book called Since Then, looking at the whole story from a 30-year perspective. And I kind of mentioned that then they were subject to a lot of psychological abuse, sometimes physical abuse. And, you know, Annette has mentioned it before in Gloria's film. She's always being slapped around and kind of beaten up and, you know, trodden on and kind of emotionally abused, the character she played. And unfortunately, people, you know, some people perhaps sort of carried that on into her real life, you know, she was a very layered actress, but they just saw the part that she played. I think that all female stars, you know, it's really tough out there, and it takes an awful lot of integrity as well as talent.
Thank you so much for making the time and coming and speaking to me about this. I've been talking to Annette Bening and Peter Turner. They just made Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. It opens in New York on December 29th and nationwide in January 2018. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us on Public Radio.
Thank you. It's been great.